And at that, we are at the top of the hour, so I would like to introduce our presenter for today. Joining us, we have Dr. Lucinda Leung. She is a core investigator at the Center for the Study of Healthcare Innovation, Implementation, and Policy, located at Greater Los Angeles VA Healthcare System. She's also an assistant professor in residence of medicine in the Division of General Internal Medicine and Health Services Research at UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine. So with that, I would like to turn it over to you now, Dr. Leung.
Thank you for the gracious introduction, and I'm very excited to be here today to share with you some of our findings from VISN 22. So I'm going to go ahead and get these slides loaded up here. Are you all able to see this?
Yep, we've got you. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm a primary care provider at the West Los Angeles VA, and with the patients I care for, I find that the ones who have both mental and physical health conditions are often very challenging to care for. Luckily, I am able to work right alongside my mental health specialist colleagues to take care of these patients' needs, and that's thanks to the Primary Care Mental Health Integration, or PCMHI, initiative. And today, I would like to talk with you about patterns we've noticed within VISN 22, our Southern California region, on how this initiative appears to be changing mental health care access patterns for the VA primary care patients that I care for. I have no relationships to disclose. I had hoped that you'd be able to take away a couple of learning points. The first being through challenges to the system in caring for veterans with mental illness in primary care. The second is how we can better structure primary care to deliver evidence-based mental health care for veterans. And the third will be the main focus of the talk, our team-based models that provide integrated care, specifically PCMHI, working as intended at the VA. So let's jumpstart by doing a poll question. Let's understand who's in our audience. What is your primary role in the VA? A, are you a PAC clinician? B, a PCMHI or mental health specialty physician? C, a researcher? D, an administrator, manager, or policymaker? Or E, you have another role at the VA?
Thank you. So for attendees, you can just click right there on your screen that corresponds with your answer. I know you may wear many hats within the VA, so we'd like to get an idea of your primary role. And while the rest of the responses come in, Dr. Leung, can I possibly have you move your microphone just a wee bit closer or increase the volume on the headset?
Thank you. Sure. Hopefully this is a little bit better.
I think it will be. Thank you. Okay, so it looks like we've had about 70% of our audience respond. I'm going to close out this poll and share those results. So 10% of our respondents selected PAC clinician, 13% PCMHI or mental health specialty clinician, 33% researcher, 19% administrator, manager, or policymaker, and 25% selected other. If you did select other, please note that there will be a more extensive list of job titles in our feedback survey at the end of the session, so you might find your exact one there to select. And with that, we're back on your slide.
Thank you for answering that. It seems like we have a very diverse audience out there, and if at any point what I'm saying doesn't make sense, feel free to type in questions in the chat box, and we'll take questions as we go. So there are a lot of clinicians I see who are in attendance, and this scenario will be a pretty common picture of patients that you might care for. So a very typical patient that I see will come into primary care with a very high blood sugar. And I'll be asked as a primary care provider to address and better control their diabetes. But as I probe, I'll find out that this patient really isn't taking any of her medications, not her metformin, her insulin, and notably, none of her antidepressants. She's actually stopped following up with her mental health specialist and feeling passively suicidal. What do I do? How do I address the diabetes without addressing everything else? And this is unfortunately a very common scenario. We know that 30% of veterans have mental illnesses diagnosed, with many more who go undiagnosed. And unfortunately, as specialists, we still act very much in silos. There's a lot of efforts made to close those gaps, but care is often still described as fragmented by patients. And it's one of the contributors to why they might go to the emergency room to seek care. And being that they have multiple comorbidities, they're very easily admitted to the hospital for a lengthy stay. We know from research that veterans with mental health diagnoses are have 4.2 times more admissions than veterans without. And to the system as a whole, they spend 2.7 times more than their counterparts without mental illness. So why do I care? I'm a primary care provider. I'm not a mental health specialist. Well, patients of mine with comorbid depression have been found to have higher mortality, that they're dying 10 to 20 years earlier, and from their chronic medical disease. This is research from the civilian literature, but I'm sure it pretty much applies to the VA as well. What do we do about it? Well, luckily, primary care team models that integrate mental health care exist. And these models are fortunately effective. So pictured here is the collaborative care model based out of the IMPACT trial, which you see here in this model, myself as the primary care provider and my patient on the left. Within the primary care team, there are two new members in this green circle. There's a care manager, oftentimes a nurse, and a psychiatry consultant who is there as needed. And us together as a team, we identify patients with mental health needs, triage these patients, and try to treat them in primary care if possible. But if not, we help connect them to services, specialty services outside of primary care. Now, we don't necessarily need more randomized controlled trials showing that these models work, especially in mental illnesses very commonly seen in primary care, like depression and anxiety. There are more than 79 randomized controlled trials. The question is, how do we get from moving to an RCT to disseminating and implementing this in real-world settings? And today, I'll talk specifically about the VA's journey in doing so. So over 10 years ago now, primary care mental health integration, or PCMHI, has been in existence. It was rolled out starting 2007 and then eventually nationally across all clinics, mandated in clinics that have more than 5,000 unique patients a year, to have a blended model that includes co-located collaborative care and care management. And this is based on a lot of studies done within the VA surrounding, for example, the White River Junction model, the behavioral health labs, TIDES, et cetera. And one of the main goals is to really engage more patients in mental health services and to improve access for these patients, especially for those with common mental illnesses like depression. So PCMHI care ideally falls on the spectrum of mental health services available at the VA. PCMHI care is really your first go-to sort of mental health care offered directly inside primary care. And it is in contrast to mental health specialty care that is offered outside, such as general mental health team-based care, specialty outpatient programs, residential rehab and treatment programs. So one of the main differences is it's located directly on site so that my patients don't have to go to a different floor or a different building. And it's services that really target patients with mild to moderate complexity mental health service, mental health conditions, like certain cases of depression, anxiety, alcohol misuse, as opposed to serious mental illness such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. And PCMHI care is meant to be brief and limited in number, as opposed to more chronic mental health care offered outside of primary care. And your typical provider is more often nurse care managers, psychologists, social workers, with needed input from prescribers, like psychiatrists or psychiatric nurse practitioners. Now, we know that this is sort of an idealized version of how PCMHI should look like. It probably looks very different depending on which clinic I'm in. So that leads us to our second poll question. What best describes the mental health arrangements available in your primary care clinic? A, embedded mental health clinicians providing PCMHI care in your clinic. B, embedded mental health clinicians and mental health nurse care managers in your clinic. C, co-located mental health clinicians providing independent mental health specialty care. D, no on-site mental health clinicians, but mental health nurse care management is available. Or E, no on-site mental health clinicians, but telemental health available.
Thank you. Looks like people are a little slower to respond to this one, and that's perfectly fine. Go ahead and take your time. We'll give you a few more seconds to get your responses in. All right, the responses have stopped streaming in, so at this point I'm going to close out the poll and share the results. Looks like 37% of our respondents selected embedded mental health clinicians providing PCMHI care. 21% selected embedded mental health clinicians and mental health nurse care management. 26% co-located mental health clinicians providing independent MHS care. 3% selected no on-site mental health clinicians, but mental health nurse management care available. And 13% selected E, no on-site mental health clinicians, but telemental health available. Thank you again to those respondents, and I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. And I recognize that there may be folks out there that have no mental health arrangements available. But perhaps there will be something we can take away from this talk in terms of advocating for such services. So as you can see, there's a different variety of mental health arrangements in primary care clinics. One crude way of understanding how much primary care clinics engage in PCMHI services, all the different types that you've described, is by looking at a performance metric that's used, the PCMHI penetration rate, or the PAC-15 measure. As described in the VSSC, it's defined as the percent of assigned primary care patients seen in a primary care mental health integration clinic, defined by these following stop codes. Now, this metric is only required for sites that are large or very large, more than 5,000 unique patients a year. That's important to keep in mind. Here we see a map of different VISNs and their PCMHI penetration rates, the most recent version of it that I could find. The lighter sites have lower PCMHI penetration rates, and the darker blue sites have higher ones. And the red arrow that you see here is VISN 22, where I currently reside, and it's one of the handful of regions that have fairly high PCMHI penetration rates. So you'll recall that I mentioned earlier PCMHI penetration rates are only required to be reported for sites that are large. Well, what about the majority of sites in my VISN that are small and not required to have PCMHI? It turns out that the majority of them actually offer PCMHI services, and I can tell that by seeing that they are using the PCMHI stop codes, which I listed earlier. I want to get an idea of how PCMHI looks like within my VISN, so I create an analogous measure to the PCMHI penetration rate, and I'm calling it the PCMHI engagement rate, so as not to be confused. It is the same idea where I'm looking at the proportion of assigned primary care patients that have received PCMHI services. For each of these clinics, 29 in VISN 22 that I'm looking at, each of these dots represents that clinic PCMHI engagement rate. And you'll notice right off the bat that there's huge variation with some sites not using PCMHI at all, and they're not necessarily required to, but some sites, 4 out of 10 of their patients are receiving such services. Overall, there is a trend toward increase over this 5-year time period that I'm examining in terms of clinic engagement in PCMHI programs. But keep in mind that if we think that patients with mental health needs should be filtered through such services, that the prevalence of mental health diagnoses is 30%. So we have a ways to go in terms of capturing all our veterans with mental health needs and engaging them in mental health services. So I'm just going to pause here and see if there are any questions about PCMHI in the VA, about the PCMHI penetration rate as compared to this PCMHI engagement variable that I've created within VISN 22.
Thank you. It doesn't look like we have any questions on this topic at the moment. I am going to ask, though, I'm getting a little bit of feedback from the headset you're on. Is it possible to pick up your handset for the remainder of the session?
Sure, no problem.
Oh, wonderful. Just as a reminder to our attendees, you can submit your questions or comments anytime. Just use the control panel on the right-hand side of your screen. Actually, we do have a question. Oh, that's much better. Thank you. We actually do have a question that just came in. Is each dot representing a clinic?
Yes, each dot represents a clinic in a 1-year time period, from fiscal year 2009 to 2013, I have pictured here. More recent numbers in VISN 22 in terms of PCMHI penetration rates are newly in the double digits.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's move on forward. So within primary care, PCMHI isn't really the only effort that has been made to better integrate care for patients. As many of you know, in 2010, several years later, the patient-aligned care team, or VA's version of the patient-centered medical home, was implemented nationally. And within VISN 22, we had implementation support for this initiative in terms of offering evidence-based quality of improvement for PACT implementation. And if you think about it, PACT really builds on the work of PCMHI. It assigns patients to a teamlet, and within teamlet there's enhanced primary care staffing. Beyond the core team of PCPs and ancillary staff, there's expanded specialty team that includes explicitly mental health providers. And since the implementation of PACT, there has been a lot of studies, and there's one pictured here that suggests that the PACT initiative has been associated with a reduction in outpatient visits to mental health specialists, with that contributing to some modest cost reduction. So that led us to wonder, do PCMHI visits play a role? And do these visits improve access to mental health care as it's intended to do? Does it substitute and reduce non-primary care-based mental health specialty visits? And is it also associated with some cost reduction? So our aims were to assess whether increased clinic engagement in PCMHI is associated with changes in mental health visits and costs. So our first hypothesis was that increasing clinic PCMHI engagement would be associated with more VA mental health visits overall, and that there would be a reduction in non-primary care-based mental health specialty visits. Our second hypothesis was that it would be associated with a total cost reduction as well. So we capitalized on that variation we saw in clinic PCMHI engagement to perform a retrospective longitudinal cohort study, and we looked at a study period that postdates the implementation of PCMHI. And you'll notice during the study period,
PACT implementation was underway. We looked at 29 VA primary care practices in Southern California with Envision 22, and we selected patients into the cohort based on whether they were primary care users, having more than two or more primary care visits during that baseline year, and who were patients with known mental health needs with at least one mental health diagnosis. This was approximately 66,000 patients. For all of these patients, we assigned them to a home clinic where they received the majority of their primary care services during that first year. Our study outcomes were at the patient level. We looked at healthcare utilization focusing on mental health care utilization. We subdivided that by PCMHI visits and non-primary care-based mental health specialty visits. We secondarily looked at the full range of healthcare utilization, including outpatient visits, inpatient visits, like hospital stays, ED visits as well. And we also looked at the total cost of VA directly provided care. Our main predictor is at the clinic level and the clinic PCMHI engagement variable that I described earlier, meant to sort of capture system level of change, how much clinics are adopting PCMHI programs and using them. To model our healthcare utilization count outcomes, we use multi-level negative binomial regressions. And to model our cost outcome, we log transform cost and ran multi-level linear regressions. Our models were three-level, patients over a five-year period clustered within 29 sites. And within our model, we had random effects for patients because we had multiple non-independent observations over time. We had fixed effects for years, which allowed us to control for secular trends and things that we know happened, like the implementation of PACT. And fixed effects for clinics, which allowed us to control for any time invariant characteristics, whether observed or unobserved. And we adjusted all our standard errors for patients clustered within clinic sites. Our models additionally controlled for patient characteristics that were related to utilization, such as sociodemographics, health diagnoses, whether they had trouble accessing healthcare in terms of being close to clinic, having insurance, et cetera. And we also controlled for one time-varying clinic characteristic, which was the staggered implementation of PACT implementation support. And in our descriptive data, we found some clear differences in clinics and patients of those clinics. For descriptive purposes only, we divided clinics by whether or not they fell above or below the median in terms of clinic PCMHI engagement. Those clinics that were highly PCMHI engaging or above the median tended to be bigger. They were based out of VA medical centers, and they were selected to receive medical home implementation support. And patients of those clinics also looked different. They appeared sicker in a sense that they're older, chronically ill, homeless, live farther away, but there were similar rates of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder diagnoses in these two groups. Now, after controlling for all these clinic and patient differences, we found that our hypothesis held true. At any given year, a 1 percentage point increase in clinic PCMHI engagement was associated with the 0.5% increase in all VA mental health care, which includes PCMHI care, and this was statistically significant. We also found an associated reduction in non-primary care-based mental health specialty visits. And this equates to a substitution at the mean of 1.5 PCMHI visit per every non-primary care-based mental health specialty visit. Another way of putting this is if we took one of those clinics at the bottom quartile and moved them up to the third quartile in terms of clinic PCMHI engagement, we would see a 10% increase in all mental health visits for patients at those sites and a 20% reduction in non-primary care-based mental health specialty visits. when we looked at all our other healthcare utilization and cost outcomes, we found no PCMHI effect on them. So PCMHI didn't have an effect on other outpatient visits, including specialty visits that were non-mental health, and it didn't have an effect on acute care use. It didn't increase it in any way, even though we're shifting mental health services from specialty to the primary care clinic setting. And in terms of costs, we found that it was essentially cost neutral. When we looked at all the other variables in our model, we found that it mostly corroborated with previous research. We again noted that over time, mental health specialty utilization appears to be decreasing, and with clinics with implementation support for PACT also was associated with less mental health specialty visits. Older patients, male patients, tend to use mental health services less as well. Variables that were associated with increased mental health visits were patients that were single, had service-connected disability, were uninsured, homeless, lived close to clinic, chronically ill, had a diagnosed mental illness, and interestingly enough, we found no significant racial ethnic differences in the VA patients that we looked at. We did a lot of sensitivity and additional analyses to support our findings. We looked at mortality as an outcome, and fortunately, PCMHI has no effect on worsening mortality. We also divided clinics by whether or not they were big or small and required to have PCMHI. And we found some interesting differences there, but in including an interactive term by clinic size and PCMHI engagement, it was not statistically significant. We did other sensitivity analyses, including all patients, even those without mental illness, and we found the same substitution effect. We specifically looked at the subgroup of patients with high mental medical comorbidities based on the Charleston Comorbidity Index score, and found the same thing. We dropped patients that were older and duly eligible for Medicare, found no difference in our results, and even looked at the group of patients that died or left VA care and dropped those patients and found no changes to our findings as well. So I'm just going to pause here for a second to see if there are any questions about the results.
No questions about these particular results yet. Thank you.
Great. I'm glad that hopefully this is clear. Well, we found a substitution effect. What does this mean? Is substitution reflecting appropriate assessment and triage in primary care, or are we seeing an indiscriminate reduction of mental health specialty visits? So with this, I'm going to transition to our third poll question. For which condition is your PCMHI team most helpful?
Thank you. So for our attendees, as you can see on your screen, your answer options are depression, alcohol and substance use disorder, PTSD and anxiety, schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, or other, such as sleep, pain, etc. And it looks like we've had about half of our audience respond. We'll give people a little more time. Okay, looks like the answers have stopped streaming in, so I'm going to go ahead and close this and share those results. 52% of our respondents selected depression, 9% alcohol and substance use disorder, 23% PTSD and anxiety, 7% schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, and 9% selected other. So thank you, and I'll turn it over to you for the last share.
Great, thanks. It seems like people overwhelmingly voted depression, which is the PCMHI, one of the PCMHI target conditions, and a condition which has a lot of evidence around collaborative care approaches and a condition that we most commonly see in primary care. So I would have picked the same thing myself. So this was sort of a nice follow-up to answering the question that I posed earlier. What does this substitution effect mean? Is it appropriate? And in the second study, we wanted to assess which of the non-primary care-based mental health specialty visits are reduced by increasing clinic PCMHI engagement over time. And we also wanted to understand which patient subgroups are affected by this reduction. So our hypothesis is that with increasing clinic PCMHI engagement, we'd see a decrease in general mental health specialty visits, the general team-based mental health care services. But we would not expect to see any change in more specialized mental health visits like specialty outpatient programs, residential rehab treatment programs. Our second hypothesis was that with the reduction that we're seeing, that we would only observe this in patients with depression, that PCMHI target condition, and not necessarily in patients with more likely serious mental illness like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, for which you all felt that PCMHI teams are less equipped to treat in the primary care setting. So to answer this question, we had to further subdivide our mental health utilization outcomes. So in addition to dividing mental health care offered at the VA as PCMHI care and non-primary care-based mental health specialty care, we subdivided that into a general mental health specialty category and a more specialized mental health category, which consists of those specialty outpatient programs and residential rehab treatment programs. We use the very similar models, the three-level negative binomial regression models for the utilization outcomes, and linear regression models when we looked at costs associated with mental health visits. And again, had random effects for patients, fixed effects for years and clinics, and further adjusted our standard errors for patient clustering around clinic sites. We controlled, again, for patient characteristics related to utilization and clinic characteristics that varied with time, specifically in VISN 22, implementation support for the medical home. And for this set of analyses, because we were trying to understand patient diagnosis and how it affects that PCMHI impact, we stratified patients by their diagnosis of either depression or their diagnosis of a psychotic disorder like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. And for these subgroups of patients, we added an interactive effect of diagnosis by clinic PCMHI engagement. And what we found was at any given year, a 1 percentage point increase in clinic PCMHI engagement was associated with a 1.2% decrease in general mental health specialty visits, which was statistically significant. And we're essentially seeing that PCMHI appears to substitute those lower level mental health specialty visits. We found no PCMHI effect on more specialized mental health specialty visits, like services for those with serious mental illness. But that subset difference was not statistically significant when PCMHI interactive effect was included. So these two studies are based on an administrative data source, which can be limited in terms of what variables are available for us to use. Mental health staffing is one that would be great to include in this model, but we weren't able to find a data source which allows us to look at PCMHI staff in the time period that we were looking at. And any of the clinicians in the audience will understand that there's a lot of coding inaccuracies that could happen with looking at administrative data, which is also a limitation. We chose a longitudinal cohort study design, which really allows us to understand utilization and cost patterns for a panel of patients, But it can be limited in terms of patients dropping out of the panel or switching clinics in the middle of the panel. And finally, our study represents VA primary care clinics in Southern California in VISN 22, but we can't say from these results whether it'll generalize more broadly. But the strengths are it's one of the first longitudinal examinations of the full range of healthcare utilization costs related to PCMHI, and it's an early effort toward better developing and understanding performance measures for assisting in the dissemination and implementation of integrated care. Certainly, PCMHI penetration rate has been used in the VA for quite some time, but even outside of the VA, a metric like that is increasingly available to be used in that CMS in the past year has allowed for billing for same-day mental health and primary care services. So we can certainly see on the civilian side developing a performance metric like this. So in conclusion, as intended, PCMHI shifts mental health care from specialty to primary care for very targeted veterans, and it appears to be improving realized access to mental health care in terms of more mental health visits for patients without necessarily increasing costs or acute care use or mortality. So I'm just going to pause here to see if there are any questions about the study results.
Thank you. Yes, we have several pending questions. If you're at the end, would you like to put up your contact slide while we do Q&A?
Sure. No problem. I can, as I wait for folks to type in any questions, policy implications for this would be recommending that the VA continue to increase availability of PCMHI services, which would allow expanding prompt access to mental health care for the primary care patients that we see. And in effect, it appears that we would substitute shorter-term mental health care within primary care for those less severely affected patients and preserve access to traditional VA mental health services for those with severe chronic mental illnesses. So as with any research, I think interesting questions that pop up from this include how does PCMHI change from site to site? And what we're trying to do to understand this is we're planning to field a PCMHI organizational survey targeting primary care lead clinicians, and we're collaborating with VISN 22 primary care and mental health leadership there. I understand that there's a PCMHI survey that requests the response from the mental health clinicians out there, but I think this is sort of a two-way endeavor, so understanding the primary care side will be equally important. And the second question is that came up from this is how do we really target PCMHI services for women veterans who are our fastest growing group of VA patients and have known high mental health needs. There are ongoing projects over here in greater LA to try to understand this as well. And finally, do the findings that I'm reporting here generalize to all VA primary care clinics across the country? We're talking about 6 million veterans. And we're collaborating and doing more PAC demonstration lab projects to replicate these findings across the board. So with that, I'd like to thank the PAC Demo Lab Initiative, to thank our COIN here, the VAHS R&D C-SHIP, and all my collaborators who have had a hand in helping me on these studies. And if there are any questions, feel free to ask them right now, type them in the box, or you can directly contact me at lucinda.leung@va.gov. Thank you.
Thank you. We do have several pending questions, so we'll just jump right into those. This one came in towards the beginning. In regards to mental health nurse care management, are there clinics that have mental health nurses in their CBOC or clinic?
So the question is, are nurse care managers available in CBOX? And the answer to that will vary across visions, but is it should be yes.
Thank you. Why wouldn't you expect an increase in specialty outpatient program, especially substance use disorder, given the screening and referral process built into primary care?
That's a great question. We actually wouldn't be surprised by that. We subdivided all our more specialized mental health services even further beyond what I showed here, and specifically looked at those substance use treatment programs, and we actually didn't find a difference. But again, this is only results coming from Vision 22, and it might be different elsewhere. But it could be a issue with numbers of patient visits, et cetera. But I, you know, if PCMHI were acting as it were intended, I don't think one would be surprised if that were found. It is noted that PCMHI treats depression, anxiety quite well in the VA, but in terms of alcohol use disorders, also a target condition for PCMHI, it's not doing as well of a job. So that might be a reflection on that.
Thank you. The next question, how is penetration determined? I'm aware of the existence of the stop codes that are intended to identify this engagement of veterans receiving primary care services. However, there is not any association of these stop codes with PACT stop codes, no direct evidence that they are actually seen in a team capacity.
So how is the PCMHI penetration rate calculated, or the PACT 15 measure? So as I described in the previous slide, it's really a in the numerator are patients that have received any of those PCMHI stop codes. And you're correct in that there can be coding inaccuracies. However a clinic feels that they're providing PCMHI services, they're using those stop codes, and there are probably instances out there where it's not used as appropriately, but that sort of comes with studies of administrative data sources. The denominator is patients that are assigned to a primary care practice, and there can also be discrepancies there, but I think less so than based on what you're describing.
Thank you. Are there plans to increase PCC visit times to allow for more in-depth mental health questions by veterans?
Are we as clinicians going to have longer primary care visits? Not that I'm aware of. I think that would be nice in any setting in the VA or outside of the VA, but unfortunately, I think we're stuck within the confines of the short amount of time that we have to address all these conditions. But the goal is to have other team members with more expertise, work together with us in addressing veterans with very complex both mental and physical health needs, so that we can do what we need to do in a short amount of time.
Thank you. Was there any data showing reduction in mental health inpatient visits?
I actually didn't look at inpatient. I didn't look specifically at inpatient visits for mental health conditions. When I looked at hospitalizations for any condition, mental or physical health, there was no change. But that's an interesting question to ask.
Thank you. Did issues relating to the LGBTQ veteran population show up in your study? And if so, what was their primary need?
We didn't specifically look into concerns of the LGBTQ community. You know, certainly there are a lot of efforts out there to enhance care for patients in the LGBT community, but in terms of their specific use of PCMHI services, their and their use of VA mental health services, I just don't have that information at this time.
Thank you. For the second study you mentioned, did you only look at depression and psychosis, like bipolar and schizophrenia, and not PTSD or cognitive impairment?
Yes. For the second study, we focused on sort of the quintessential mental health care condition you would associate with PCMHI, being depression, and then sort of the opposite of that, one where you would expect primary care providers to not be able to manage by themselves in clinic alone without the help of mental health specialists outside. And for that reason, we sort of pitted the two diagnoses and compared the results from those two groups of patients with those diagnoses. We controlled for other mental health conditions like PTSD and substance use disorders in our models, but we didn't look specifically at them.
Thank you. Can you briefly discuss the difference in treatments, PCMHI services versus general mental health team-based care?
Sure. And this is coming as a caveat from a primary care provider, so if there are any mental health specialists, feel free to correct me if I'm mistaken. So the idea behind PCMHI is that it's mental health services offered directly in primary care clinic. So locationally, it's in the same place as patients that I see in primary care. And the mental health services that are delivered are usually delivered by more mid-level providers and even nurse care managers in consultation with prescribers like psychiatrists. And the goal is for those services to be sort of short-term and time-limited, brief sessions, 6 to 8 sessions, and not with plans of following these patients chronically, as you would expect in mental health specialty care outside.
Thank you. For your very first question, how do you define embedding versus co-location but working independently? What functions are different between the two definitions?
Sure. Related to the poll question, when I define an embedded mental health provider that provides PCMHI care, it's really a mental health specialist that works together with primary care and communicates and interacts with primary care to take care of primary care patients. The way that I viewed co-located mental health clinicians that provide independent mental health specialty care, I'm thinking of a mental health clinician that's sort of sitting in the same space but not really talking to primary care or interacting with them beyond just swapping notes. So functionally very different, even though they're mental health specialists located in the same place.
Thank you. The next question, has your VISN developed a policy to better implement PCMHI during a veteran's visit based on this research and help streamline the process?
Sure. So we actually, our VISN had a PCMHI-specific retreat just a little over a year ago, and what came out of this retreat was understanding that PCMHI looks different in different places. And, you know, certainly we have the same national mandates that we're following, but the way people are choosing to construct these programs or to even what they consider as a PCMHI service that they're using staff codes for look different everywhere. And so what came out of it was we wanted to initially survey different primary care clinics to understand how it looks from the primary care perspective. And so in the past year, we've developed a survey, pilot tested it, and are fielding it this month to our primary care lead clinicians to understand the landscape. And from that, we hope to be able to better direct our recommendations in change practice.
Thank you. Are there going to be nurses hired, especially for mental health nurses?
I think that would be a great thing. We're always short on mental health providers. And in terms of providing mental health services, the evidence isn't necessarily for, hiring more psychiatrists or prescribers. It's really having sort of mental health dedicated, mental health trained providers, especially nurse care managers, to help primary care providers manage these patients inside our primary care clinic. As long as there's access to a prescribing mental health specialist, there's a lot of evidence that that works. And it's, it's always easier just to sort of stick a mental health specialist in primary care and not necessarily have them communicate with primary care, but that's not necessarily what works. It's really creating that interdisciplinary care, working together as a team, and nurse care managers will certainly help facilitate that.
Thank you. The person then commented that the CBOX do not have mental health nurses. Thank you. Okay, that is our final pending question at this time, but I would like to give you the opportunity to make any concluding comments that you'd like.
I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen in on this talk, and although this is really only result for one vision, hopefully we can look at this on a wider scale and understand how we can improve mental health care for veterans, especially if it's going to be through PCMHI. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Leung, for coming on and sharing your expertise with the field, and thank you for our attendees for joining us. I am going to close out the session in just a moment, so for our attendees, please stick around while a feedback survey populates on your screen and take just a moment to fill out those few questions. We do look closely at your responses, and it helps us to improve our presentations as well as the program as a whole. So once again, thank you, everyone, for joining us, and this does conclude today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar. Thank you, Lucinda.
Thank you.